This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Where we are at any given moment makes a big difference in whether or not cell phone calls, text messages, or emails are able to reach us. And that's a lot like our relationship with God. Where we are in our spiritual walk determines whether or not God is able to get through to us. Today, we continue in a series called Hearing the Voice of God. In these powerful lessons, Rick is teaching us how we can truly hear from the Lord, making it so much easier to know and do His will for our lives. This September, when you join our Partner in Hope family by signing up for automated monthly giving, we'll send you a special welcome gift as our way of saying thanks. To find out more, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Recognizing God's Voice.
You got to be patient and pray. You got to realize that it's usually going to be for confirmation. Third thing, write this down. God usually uses you without you being conscious of it. When God wants to speak through you to another person, it's usually going to be done in a way that you don't even know He spoke through you. And that is so cool. And that happens all the time. You're at a small group and somebody will say something and they don't even realize what they're saying, but it hits you like an arrow straight to your heart. And you go, whoa, that was meant for me. And God just spoke to you through the mouth of somebody in your small group. That's why if you're not in a small group, you're missing that. You're missing that. You don't have anybody who's speaking into you. Godly people who can speak into your life. But that person doesn't even know that they did it. I mean, people tell me all the time, Pastor Rick, when you teach, I feel like you're speaking directly to me. I feel like you've been reading my mail. I'm not reading your mail. I'm not even reading your email. Okay? All I'm doing is I'm getting up and teaching the Word of God, and one thought will go and hit somebody here, and another one will hit somebody over here, and somebody over here, and I'm not even aware of it. But you're aware of it because God wanted it for you, and He had me say something that He wanted you to hear, even though I didn't know what it was that you needed to hear. Now, that happens all the time. Romans 14 says this about concerning my own responsibility. We will all be judged one day, not by each other's standards, thank God, or even our own standards, but by the judgment of God, because God is just, right, fair, and true, and nobody's going to say you're not fair. It is to God alone that we will have to answer for our actions. Now, number six, Tom's going to come and teach on these last two filters. Is it convicting rather than condemning? That's the sixth text. Tom's going to explain this. Is it convicting rather than condemning?
If you miss this one, the difference between being convicting and condemning, you're going to find yourself, even though it passes all the other tests, constantly making decisions because you thought you've heard God's voice, but really it's this voice of condemnation. So what's the difference between conviction that the Bible talks about where God convicts us when we've done something wrong so we can get right, and this general feeling of condemnation? Conviction comes from God. He gives it to us to correct us. So I say something to one of my kids that I shouldn't have said, or to my husband, my wife, God says, you shouldn't talk like that. That's conviction. And He does it to correct us because He loves us, because He wants us to live the right kind of way and enjoy the kind of lives that He made us to live. He wants to develop our character. And conviction is something that God is just saying in my life, this needs to change. So I know what I need to change. On the other hand, condemnation comes from Satan, and it's just to criticize. It's just to accuse you. It's motivated by Satan's hatred for you, and it just gives you this overall feeling, I'm a jerk, I'm worthless, why did I do that? If you've ever, and I think we've all felt this way, just felt vaguely guilty, just this cloud, this dark cloud of guilt hanging over your head, but you couldn't put your finger on it, you just felt bad all the time, that is condemnation. And when you feel that way, that's not from God. If you feel, I'm worthless, I'm useless, I'm nothing, I'm not worth a thing, that is not God's voice. How do I know that? Look at this next verse in your outline, Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. God does not speak that way. He does not speak with a voice of condemnation. So anytime you feel that way, you can know that's not God's voice. And I know a lot of people, to try to get rid of this general feeling of condemnation, they'll do all kinds of crazy things, thinking somehow you're following God's voice. It is never His voice. In fact, you might write down in your outline these words, God never attacks my value. He never attacks your value. Now, will He point out your sin? Oh, yeah, of course. But He doesn't attack your value. You're His child. You're the one that He loves. That's not the way that God speaks. Revelation 3, verse 19. Here's how God speaks in my life. Here's how God speaks in your life. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults, and I convict, and I discipline. So be earnest and repent, changing your mind and attitude. That's how God speaks. Condemnation is like this dark cloud of guilt. When God speaks, it's like a pinpoint of light. He tells you exactly, this is what's wrong, and this is how you change it. So now let's change it together. That's how He speaks in my life. That's how He speaks in your life. He tells you the solution, and then as soon as you confess, as soon as you change, that feeling of conviction, it goes away. It doesn't last for the rest of eternity. Condemnation is general, it's vague, and it never goes away. Conviction, it's specific, it's clear, and it goes away as soon as you respond to it. Well, let me give you another picture of this. It's like the court system. In our court system, you've seen all these courtroom dramas, or some of you are in court every day of your life. In our court system, there's really two stages if you're convicted or condemned. First you have the stage where you have all the sentencing going on and you have the conviction. You are guilty. And then after that does come the sentencing from the judge, and you are condemned to this certain punishment. That's our court system. God's system is not the same. God's system doesn't have two parts, it has three parts. First comes the conviction, the feeling, I've done something wrong. I know I shouldn't have gone that way. And then secondly, here's the good news, Jesus takes the condemnation. That's what the cross is all about. Jesus died on the cross because He loves us, and He took our condemnation for us. And so then third, when I recognize that, I am forgiven, I am set free. That's God's system of justice. It's an awesome system of justice. It's a good news God. And so when I'm convicted and I realize I've done something wrong, how long should that feeling that I have of conviction last in my life? It should last only as long as it takes me to repent. If it takes me a month to repent, I'm going to feel conviction for a month. If it takes me a year to repent, I'm going to feel it for a year. But if immediately, as soon as God says it, I respond to it, then I know, okay, He's speaking to me. You just recognize so many times we mistake our low self-esteem for God's voice. The Bible says this about Satan. Satan is the accuser of believers, Revelation 12, verse 10. He wants to accuse you. You got to understand how Satan works with your sin. When it comes to sin, before you sin, Satan minimizes it. Have you noticed this? And then after you sin, he maximizes it. Before you sin, he says, oh, it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. Don't worry about it. And then the minute you sin, you hear Satan's voice saying, how could you do that and call yourself a Christian? How in the world could, you are the worst slime in the universe that you did that. That's how he speaks. So what do? I realize that is the voice of Satan and not of God. So I'm going to look to God, and when I feel conviction, I'm going to immediately respond. Is it conviction, convicting, or condemning? That's one of the tests. And then you come to the seventh test. And that test is, do I sense God's peace about it? If you feel pressured, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel confused about a decision that you're trying to make, it might be about money, it might be about some ministry in your life, it might be about your kids, and you're constantly feeling confused, one of the reasons for that is you're caught up in yourself probably and not in God's voice. The Bible says this about God. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. He is not the author of confusion. So if I'm feeling confused, guess what? It's some other voice. It's not God's voice speaking in my life. Those of you that are parents, do you want your kids to feel pressured or confused when you ask them to do something? No, you want them to understand what to do and then respond and do it. And God's the perfect father, so he wants us to understand what he's asking us to do. Do I sense God's peace about it in my life? Now, the only time pressure could be legitimate is if God's told me to do something and I keep saying no. Then the pressure does build. But there's always peace when I say yes to what he's asked me to do. Satan wants to drive us compulsively, and God wants to draw us compassionately. Satan wants to drive you compulsively. I think we've all got some OCD in us. And Satan wants to take advantage of our compulsions and use those to drive our lives. But God, instead, he wants to draw us compassionately. He's like a good father. He's like a good shepherd. He wants to draw our lives. Do I sense God's peace about it? I've always loved what Peter Lord used to say. 90% of what God wants to say to you is encouragement. And if all you ever hear from God is negative messages, something's wrong. The wires have been crossed. Do I sense God's peace about it as I'm listening to him? If you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do, and you feel like God's told you to do something, and increasing anxiety is happening because of what you feel he's told you to do, something's crossed up. Because the Bible says this in Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Here's how God speaks. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When God speaks, it does not create anxiety and worry. It creates the exact opposite. And in fact, one of the great signs that you've heard God's voice is you're in the midst of a storm and everybody else around you is worried and running around, and you have this peace that you cannot explain, even as you're walking through that storm. That's one of the signs. I'm listening to him. I'm hearing from him because I have his peace in my life. But notice in that verse, it says, if you do this, you will have God's peace. It's not just a matter of hearing from him. It's also a matter of acting on what you hear. In fact, I love this next verse. Proverbs 22, verse 17 tells us the three things we need to do as we hear God's voice, hear God's impressions. Listen to this wise advice, follow it closely, for it will do you good, and then you can pass it along to other people. So it's not just hearing from God. You do these three things. First, you listen, you hear it, but then you follow it, you do what it says, and then you pass it on to other people.
Yesterday, when I was studying for this message, I was in my office, and Cassidy, my five-year-old granddaughter, walked in. She said, "What are you doing, Papa?" And I said, "I'm preparing to teach tomorrow at church." And she said, "What are you going to teach on?" And I said, "How to hear God speak to you." She said, "Oh, I already know that." I said, "Oh, you do?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Does God speak to you?" She said, "All the time." I said, "How does he speak to you, Cassie?" He said, "In my mind." Why is it so hard for adults and so easy for kids? Why do we make it so complicated? Because of all of our doubts and our fears and our skepticisms and all of the mess that we get into our minds, it's why Jesus said, if you want to understand the kingdom of God, you must become like a little child. Because a little child is open. God, whatever you want to say to me. And she could hear God very clearly. And she didn't have any problem with that at 5 years of age. Now, what is it? What's the problem? If you could hear God clearly in the past, but it's not so clear anymore. I mean, the transmission has gotten fuzzy. The lines are messed up and jammed. The message is muted. It's not getting through. What's the problem if you could hear God clearly in the past, but you can't now? Here's the problem. You have allowed sin to come between you and God, and you need to pull out that blockage, and then you'll be able to hear him clear again. It may be a relationship you need to let go of. It may be a habit you need to let go of. It may be a hurt that you've held onto and said, I am not going to let that person off the hook. And that has created a barrier between you and God. And God can't hear your prayers and you can't hear him speak to you. And what you need to do is confess that area, that blockage. Say, God, that's wrong. And I want to confess it. And I want to change. I want to turn away from my sin. I want to turn back to you. I want to be able to hear from you. And you'll be able to hear him again. Well, what if I've never, ever heard God speak to me in my life? I've never felt it. Then you need to get to know Jesus Christ. You need to begin a relationship. You may have been in church all of your life. You can have churchianity without Christianity. You can have religion without a relationship. You can know all about God and not really know him. Now, we can settle that one right now. The Bible says this, the last verse in your outline. He who belongs to God hears what God says. That's the mark that you belong to God. You can hear him. The reason you don't hear is that you don't belong to God. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. You've never stepped across the line in faith. You've never put your total life in his hands. You've come with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend. You may have come to Saddleback for years, but you've never began that relationship. And this is the day to do it. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And if you've never heard God speak to you, you need to begin a relationship to him today. You could say something like this in your heart. Just follow me and say, me too, God. Dear God, I want to know you. And I want to hear your voice. And I want to know what you want me to do with my life. Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all. But I thank you that you love me, that you made me, that you shaped me for a purpose, that you forgive me and you take away my condemnation. Show me the things in my life that are keeping me from hearing you. I want to confess them and I want to get rid of them. And I want to follow you and trust you from this day forward. I ask you to accept me into your family and help me to hear your voice and feel your presence. The rest of you you've already opened your life to Christ, you join me in this prayer. Say, dear God, I want to hear you when you talk to me this week. And more than that, I want to do what you tell me to do. I'm choosing your way in advance. And I want to pass on what you tell me to others. So I can grow. Help me to use these 7 tests this week as I listen to you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, rick@pastorrick.com, and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, over the last year, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he'd like to invite you to become a partner in hope. Here's Rick to tell you more.
No matter where you're listening to this program right now around the world, I want to thank you for your support of Daily Hope. Your prayers and your financial contributions are literally helping people all over the world learn about the hope that we have in Jesus. Did you know that in just this short time, people from over 200 countries have visited the Daily Hope website? And we have listeners all throughout the United States, India, Africa, South America, Australia, Korea, Hong Kong, Europe, all over the Middle East. In fact, right now, someone's listening to this broadcast and getting to know Jesus because of your prayer and because of your financial support. So I just wanted to say thank you. Your support means so much to me personally, and I want you to know that I take your trust very seriously. Every single dollar you donate to Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. You know that I don't take a salary from Daily Hope. You're never going to hear about Kay and me owning a private jet or some boat, because we want to invest as much as possible into God's kingdom, because that's what's going to matter for eternity. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth." And I believe Jesus meant it when he said that. Now, we want Daily Hope to reach more and more people. So I would appreciate you prayerfully continuing your support of this ministry. Would you pray about it? Here's the prayer I want you to pray. God, what do you want to give through me? I would love to have you as a partner in hope.
To become a partner in hope, go to PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. When you do, we'll send you Pastor Rick's study resource, Hearing the Voice of God Scripture Box. We'll also send you a very special surprise thank you gift to show our appreciation. There are only 2 days left to become a partner in hope and receive your surprise thank you gift, so don't wait. That's PastorRick.com, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thanks for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.